For 20 years, Small Business Digest has helped millions of entrepreneurs grow their business. We do this by highlighting ways they can increase profits. Whether these suggestions improve marketing and provide better financial management, offer robust people management ideas, provide speedier logistics, our guests each offer ways of reducing costs, adding sales, widening profits. One, the Tony Soprano, the famed fictional crime boss who grew up in the Ironbound section of Newark, New Jersey, turned to a psychologist to resolve some of his conflicted emotions. I grew up in the Ironbound section of Newark at the same time as depicted in the forthcoming movie prequel to the television Soprano saga. In the highly successful television series, Tony Soprano was a man born to the mob, yet questioning his birthright, the rules he lived by, and the people he associated with. Tony Soprano was not alone, and my book, Frankie, If You Get Hurt, I'll Kill You, talks about those changes and the people they affected, myself included, and the fictional Tony Soprano. The period 1950 to 1965 was the time of major changes hitting Tony Soprano in fiction and my neighbors in real life. He, like many of my neighbors, felt the strain of an evolving Italian-American heritage. Tony Soprano and my generation were being torn from their roots, rendered from the comfort of their familiar with changing rules and mores. The family, long a center of his life, was unraveling. Recall, his mother, Tony Soprano's mother, ordered his liquidation. The mob to which Tony Soprano was born to was morphing in ways he neither understood nor wanted. My book, Frankie, If You Get Hurt, I'll Kill You, explores these changes by leading the reader through the labyrinth of channels swept away for most of us of Tony Soprano's generation. Tony Soprano is fiction. His experiences were not. Return with me to those times where individuals did things differently there and needed to adapt to changes without comprehending the exact nature of those demands. Certainly, Tony Soprano did not quite understand. Neither did I, nor others of our generation. I provide insight in Frankie, If You Get Hurt, I'll Kill You, because my father was for many years the chief launderer of their shirts and the pressing. My mother had a lifetime friendship with a mob boss, and I covered them for the Newark News. The book is Frankie, If You Get Hurt, I'll Kill You, and available soon here and at your favorite bookstore. I'm Don Mazzella, and we have with us Matt Davis today. He's got a fascinating book, and I'm really anxious to hear from him. Matt, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks. Great to be here.
Well, Matt, first, tell us a little bit about yourself personally, about your business, and then a little bit about the title of your book, and what it's about, and finally, how people can get it.
Got it. Well, my name's Matt Davis. I run a firm called Davis Business Law, and we're centered in Oklahoma right now with a branch up in Kansas. And I've got a wife and five kids, and we help small businesses. Our tagline is Smart Business Decisions, because we want to help all of our clients just make the smartest business decision possible. We help them in really two ways. Number one, the reactive way when they have a problem or an opportunity. And then also in a proactive way, we run a outside general counsel program we call our custom legal department program. And so that's what my business does. And I wrote a book called The Art of Preventing Stupid that Inc. magazine just published. And it is a book about learning how to get ahead of your problems so that you can navigate the minefield that business is, because there's all sorts of problems out there. And I maintain in the book that figuring out what your problems are really starts with reverse engineering what your goals are. Because if you know that, then you can start to figure out what your problems are. And beyond that, I stress the idea that there's nothing new under the sun. Business has the same problems over and over again, because running a successful business is a function of getting seven systems running right and running in a healthy way. And we can get into that here in a little while. And then third, I say we need a system to figure out how to prevent problems. And I determined that all of our problems come from one of three sources. And number one is failure to prepare for catastrophes. Number two is our ignorance about running our business. And number three is our ineptitude about running our business, which means we're slacking off. We're not doing what we know we need to be doing and doing it effectively in a systematized way. And so ultimately, I took the seven parts of your business, seven working parts, with the three sources of your problems, put them together in a chart we call the Business Immune System Report, and we use that as a grade card or as a tool to ask 21 critical questions to protect your business. And it's an efficient, comprehensive way that we help not our clients not only steer around their legal problems, but also their financial problems, their marketing problems, and so on. So I hope I answered your question there.
Well, you started to. You gave us a mouthful, but your website for people again and how people can get the book, the name of the book and how people can get it again?
Got it. The book is called The Art of Preventing Stupid, and you can get it at Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. It's in a lot of independent bookstores as well. My branding website for the book is called theartofpreventingstupid.com. And we also have a podcast over there by the same name. And then beyond that, the firm is davisbusinesslaw.com.
Okay. Well, let's back up. You put out three of the very good principles. Let's start with the first. Why don't you restate it and tell us what you mean by that?
Okay. Catastrophes are, you know, they're disasters. They're just big problems that come from, you know, they can either come from internal, meaning let's say if you're the owner of the company and you die, that's a catastrophe for the business, right? Or they can come from external. Let's say I'm looking out here. I live in Oklahoma. I'm looking out here to the west. We've got big storms coming in today. We could be worried about tornadoes. You know, that's something we worry about here. But conversely, we're not too worried about it. Tornado in, say, you know, New York. We might be worried about a big blizzard or something. And so catastrophes are these events that happen, and they can affect any of your seven systems, which would be the owner, the personnel. So like losing a key man would be a catastrophe. And you ought to be scanning the horizon for that, because those things happen and you ought to be prepared for it. You can't always prevent them, catastrophes, but very frequently you can do things to mitigate or to prepare for them. You know, you can have a catastrophe in your marketing. So we had a client who relied almost exclusively on Google AdWords for his work, and his ex-girlfriend got all aggravated with him and went and ran up $21,000 worth of clicks on his Google AdWords. He couldn't pay Google, and he lost his business because of it.
So that sounds like it. I've always been taught it's not the catastrophe so much as how you deal with it. That's the real secret to something like that.
Right, and if you're prepared, you can feel like a champ, because, you know, this stuff's going to happen. And by this stuff, I mean, it's the same things over and over and over again. business is the same as it has been since the Sumerians started it 2,500 years before Christ. And most of us business owners think we've ginned up something really special, really novel, really unique. And we need to disabuse ourselves of that notion and just get down to the brass tacks of this is what I got to do to run my business right, and this is what I got to do to protect it.
I couldn't agree with you more. Before we go on to the next one, can you give us you talked about natural and something with the next girlfriend, but can you give us one more example of catastrophe? I always think of a catastrophe as when you depend too much on one client for growth, and then all of a sudden that client goes away, and you're looking at a big empty hole. That to me is a catastrophe.
Oh, that is a subject that's near and dear to my heart. At one point, we had one client get to be 40% of our business. And at that point, we really didn't have a marketing branch of the firm. And we were really concerned about that. And just scanning the horizon on that, I was like, one vice president of that company could take away the livelihood of my family at that point in time. And that's one of the factors, one of the potential catastrophes that I was looking at that propelled me to go start growing our firm to the size we've got it to now. And oddly enough, the same client, we kept them, but now they just gave us a whole bunch of new work, and now they're back up above 50% of our business. So we're just going to have to grow beyond them. But it's an awareness. Jim Collins has a book called Great by Choice. He wrote it with Morton Hansen. And he maps out four characteristics of what he calls 10X leaders, which are just, you know, the best business leaders. And one of those that's really not well served in business literature is called productive paranoia. And it's this active sense of what can go wrong. And one problem, though, is any old fool can be paranoid. The question is, how are you productively paranoid? And that's what we deliver by mapping out the three sources of failure, cross-referencing it with the seven working systems of your business.
Couldn't agree with you more. We're talking with Matt Davis. Matt, your book again, the title of your book, and how people can get it?
It's called The Art of Preventing Stupid, and you can get it at Amazon, or you can get it at Barnes & Noble's, and I think it's just Noble, not Noble's, and several other bookstores. I don't know where all it is. It's all over America right now.
Okay. So, Matt, now you talk about the second of your three imperatives.
Okay. Second source of our failures is ignorance, is not knowing what we're doing, just being ignorant about what we're doing. And look, if we are ambitious business owners, that means we have goals, we have plans. That means we're trying to change something, we're trying to grow. With that comes learning curves. And there's nothing shameful about being ignorant. What's shameful is not getting off your duff and getting educated. It is particularly shameful in this day and age when the resources to learn at our fingertips are just absolutely astonishing. I mean, get on your keyboard and go find a book. I tell my crew, whenever we feel like we're ignorant about something, go get a book. Somebody's been there and has written about it before. Go find a blog. Just start Googling around. You may have read Harvey McKay's book, Swim with the Sharks Without Getting Eaten Alive. One of the profound things he says in there time and time again is, I can't believe how stupid I was just 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Meaning, if you're trying to get somewhere, you're growing, you're learning. And so, for instance, as one of the marketing tools of our law firm, I wrote this book. We didn't know, come here from Sikkim, about how to do book marketing. And here I am on your radio show, right? Because we've gone out and we've spent an enormous amount of time and energy learning how to go market this book, because we decided we're ignorant about this. We're ignorant about this part of our marketing. Let's go learn how to do it. And similarly, if you're trying to grow, you should be constantly assessing the management skill sets that you need, the production skill sets that you need. I mean, we're constantly working on improving our production skill sets. I guess that's why they call it practicing law. And just building better forms, better form banks, better procedures, better systems. And that ties over to ineptitude, because once you get it figured out, you want to make sure you're doing it right. But ignorance is just one of the core things that you have to be seriously honest with yourself. Again, quoting Collins, you have to rigorously analyze what you don't know, and then with a really heartfelt passion, go figure out how to get the answers to those questions. Learn those skill sets, bring them to your business so you can get to your goals.
Well, Matt, on that point, when you say, what does your company do? Is it a legal company? I'm unsure of what you do.
Yeah, well, again, we do two things. We do what we call reactive law, which is the traditional province of law where you help people with a problem or an opportunity, okay? And we do that day in, day out. We also run an outside general counsel program where I serve right now as the general counsel for, I think, 12 different businesses. And as part of that, I always stress this to the CEOs that I work with. I say, your job is to improve, grow, and protect the business. And CEOs tend to think in that order with a very profound de-emphasis on protect. I mean, they tend to be go-getters. We want to go, you know, we want to go grow. We want to go make things happen. As the general counsel, and when we're serving as general counsel for businesses, as part of what we call, we talk about how there's 8 core competencies your general counsel needs to bring to the table. And one of those is helping with the corporate governance and administration. And a small part of that is the paperwork of keeping up your corporate records and so on. I mean, that's minor stuff, but particularly with small businesses. But in corporate governance and administration, the priorities of how your general counsel thinks is an inversion of how the CEO thinks, because the first thing that the general counsel needs to think about is how to protect the business, how to keep the business out of trouble, what could possibly go wrong, because at the worst end of your problems are legal problems. Now, financial could probably be right up there too, but so to get back to answering your question in a short order, if I could put a bow on it, yeah, we do law the way everybody else does law, but we also do what we call proactive law, where we're helping businesses get in front of their problems to help protect them, to help prevent stupid mistakes. And I'm kind of provocative when I say stupid mistakes, but I think most mistakes are avoidable if you'll implement a comprehensive system of getting ahead of them. So I think most mistakes really are pretty stupid.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more, Matt. The only thing I've learned in business over all these years is don't sign anything unless your lawyer has seen it. And don't. That's the first thing. It's amazing how many people don't do that. And just one simple example.
That's just, for instance, that's one of the core competencies of your general counsel, is knowing how to deal with your contracts, whether it's vendor contracts or customer contracts or contracts like that. And you know, I like to tell my clients, look, law is like dentistry. You can do it yourself, but you probably shouldn't.
I couldn't agree more. But unfortunately, in this litigious age, people tend to sue at the drop of a hat. And, it just amazes me how when you read about some of these lawsuits, you sit there and say, wow, you know?
Yeah, and the goal is to stay as far away from that as possible. And I very bluntly tell our clients, we get in a big legal fight, you know, in litigation, there's generally two people that win, and they're usually the lawyers.
Yes, couldn't agree with you.
You know, the smart business decision is to stay out of the courthouse, and the even smarter business decision is to prevent the problem before you even get there.
Well, Matt, we're talking with Matt Davis. Unfortunately, sometimes no matter how careful you are, if the other person decides that they want to sue, there's nothing you can do about it. I'm sorry.
There is truth there. There's truth there. Yep, absolutely. And then you just have to gauge whether or not it's worth it.
That's unfortunate. But Matt, we got through two, but let's have your third imperative. I'm finding this fascinating. I hope our audience is as well.
Yeah, I do too. The third source of problems is ineptitude. And ineptitude is more common in mature companies than it is in startup companies. Ignorance, they're still on their learning curve. As companies get more mature, as they develop their systems, as they develop the smart, good ways, the effective ways of doing things, then they have to make sure it gets carried out. They have to make sure that the work's getting done right. They have to make sure that the production is done correctly. I spoke to YPO Global Forum the other day, and you know, those are big companies, or at least medium-sized companies. Your base level there is $12 million in revenue. And the thing I just keep pointing out to them is, look, you guys have made it, so to speak, but now you got to keep it going. One of the examples I pointed out to them really involved Boeing. And in two different years, I mean, the original example of just crazy ineptitude is when Boeing in 1935 was in the competition for the new U.S. bomber. They brought the prototype of the B-17 to Dayton, to Wright Field, and they didn't even get up in the air hardly because they left the chocks in the ailerons. They weren't following a checklist. And so it killed several of the pilots or crew. And it's just crazy that a company as sophisticated as Boeing that could build that plane can't bother to get it in the air. And, you know, they were ejected from the competition. Well, now let's look at what's happening right now with the 737 MAX. I mean, all indications are that they didn't do the proper testing, and or they're not getting the right training for the pilots. Now, I'm not an expert on that, but I've got several friends. I live in an Air Force base town. And this is what I'm getting out of, why is this plane crashing? And so you get the mature companies, they forget to go through the right processes. They forget to do the right things that they know need to be done to protect the company. And that's what ineptitude's about. And all of the problems we have in business come from one of those three sources. And I use a quote in one of my presentations from Dr. Jonas Salk, and he talks about how the answers are already out there. our job is to ask the right questions. So the power of knowing that all of your problems come from one of those three sources is you can then ask the right questions. You can ask, what could, where are we being ineptitude, or where are we being inept in the management of the case? Or what sort of catastrophes could strike the management of the company? And go on down the list, and then, again, effectively and comprehensively map out all the potential problems that your company can have.
Wow. I'm sitting here just listening to you, Matt Davis, whose book is The Art of Preventing Stupid. I love the title. Matt, can you do our audience a favor and just briefly restate those three as we're getting towards the end of our time together?
Sure. Point is, all of our problems come from one of three sources: from failure to prepare for catastrophes, from failure to educate ourselves, I call that ignorance, and from failure to adeptly perform the work that we know how to do. And I call that ineptitude. And with those three sources of failure cross-referenced with the seven working systems that make up every business, and I'll run through those real quick. It's the management, it's the personnel, it's the production, it's the metrics or measurements, how you measure things, it's the plant, it's the marketing, and it's the sales. Marketing being how you get the leads, sales how you close them. Business works in a cycle based around those seven working systems, and you have to have them all working well. And sometimes they're working passively or latently, but they got to be working well or your business is going to be sick. That's why I call our chart the business immune system, because we're working on ways to help keep the problems or the sickness or the illness, whatever you want to call it, at bay and away from your business. Because we want to help people run healthy businesses. We want to help them make smart business decisions. Because I come from old dirt scratch Nokia and Kansas farmers, and we've been really blessed to build a whole series of successful businesses. And I want to see families do that all across America, because that's how we change lives. That's how we change the destiny of our country. And if I can help people run healthy businesses, I'm going to go to my grave happy.
Wow. We're talking with Matt Davis. Matt, your book again, and how people can get it?
The Art of Preventing Stupid is at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, other fine retailers. And the podcast is over at theartofpreventingstupid.com. So love to have you buy the book. Love to have you join the podcast listeners. And just want to be part of your tribe.
Thank you so much for being with us, Matt. It's been very illuminating. And appreciate it. And a link to your website will be on our website tonight. Thank you so much.
Oh. Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you.
One, Tony Soprano, the famed fictional crime boss who grew up in the Ironbound section of Newark, New Jersey, turned to a psychologist to resolve some of his conflicted emotions. I grew up in the Ironbound section of Newark at the same time as depicted in the forthcoming movie prequel to the television Soprano saga. In the highly successful television series, Tony Soprano was a man born to the mob, yet questioning his birthright, the rules he lived by, and the people he associated with. Tony Soprano was not alone, and my book, Frankie, If You Get Hurt, I'll Kill You, talks about those changes and the people they affected, myself included, and the fictional Tony Soprano. The period 1950 to 1965 was the time of major changes hitting Tony Soprano in fiction and my neighbors in real life. He, like many of my neighbors, felt the strain of an evolving Italian-American heritage. Tony Soprano and my generation were being torn from their roots, rendered from the comfort of their familiar with changing rules and mores. For family, long a center of his life was unraveling. Recall, his mother, actually, Tony Soprano's mother, actually ordered his liquidation. The mob to which Tony Soprano was born to was morphing in ways he neither understood nor wanted. My book, Frankie, If You Get Hurt, I'll Kill You, explores these changes by leading the reader through the labyrinth of channels swept away for most of us of Tony Soprano's generation. Tony Soprano is fiction. His experiences were not. Return with me to those times where individuals did things differently there and needed to adapt to changes without comprehending the exact nature of those demands. Certainly, Tony Soprano did not quite understand. Neither did I, nor others of our generation. I provide insight in Frankie, If You Get Hurt, I'll Kill You, because my father was for many years the chief launderer of their shirts and the pressing. My mother had a lifetime friendship with a mob boss, and I covered them for the Newark News. The book is Frankie, If You Get Hurt, I'll Kill You, and available soon here and at your favorite bookstore. I'm Don Mazzella. With us today is Eric Diamond. He's CEO of Push Send. It's a fascinating tool that when I read about it, we had to have him on the program. Eric, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Eric, first, before you do anything else, tell us a little bit about yourself personally and your company.
Sure. So I guess I could start with my career-related stuff. I mean, about 20, 25 years ago, I started out as a developer, as a tech guy, and, you know, made my way into the industry working for Omnicom and some other very big advertising-related companies. Ended up kind of running all of technology for Turner Broadcasting in New York for a lot of their properties like Sports Illustrated and CNN Money. And from there was the CTO of Time Out Publications for a bit, and then started my own company called Tribeca Digital about 10 years ago, which was a digital agency servicing big brands like Sesame Street and Wyndham Hotels and other brands.
Okay. Now tell us about Push Send.
Sure. Absolutely. So with Push Send, we started about a year ago doing development because we really had tools that we wanted for ourselves to be, you know, for marketing purposes. So Push Send is really an all-in-one platform that allows for you to easily create, market, and manage all of your email campaigns, your landing pages, and all of your events all in one place, which typically you would have three different systems per se to use to have to do all of those things. We've put it all into one. And we, like I said, we started out building it for ourselves, and over a period of time, more and more of our clients kind of requested to use it, and then we decided to commercialize it and make it public.
Okay, can you spell out your website?
Sure. It's PushSend.com, pushsend.com.
Okay, let me see if I heard it correctly. So your system, particularly if you're doing events, your system allows you to send out emails, get the results in, and manage the event, give out tickets, etc. Did I hear that right?
So let me clarify. So we do email campaign software and the analytics around that for all of your email campaigns. We do landing pages so that you can create pages for your products or services and then have your emails click to them and all of that stuff. And then we also do events where you can create event registrations and things along those lines and then register people for the event, for your event.
Okay. But for instance, you can't give them a ticket for the event. Please tell us more. We just want to understand the system better.
No, that's okay. So for phase one, it's all the event piece is all about non-ticket events, so webinars, meetups, conferences, all of that kind of stuff. Phase two of our product, because we just launched, is going to be adding tickets, adding tickets into it, so that we can, you know, have you not only offer tickets, but you can get people to pay for the tickets and so on and so forth.
Hmm. And well, that's not operational yet, or will be soon?
No, that will be operational probably in somewhere in the area towards Q3 into 4.
Okay. It's fascinating. I have to tell you, I had a month and a half ago, I had someone from Denmark who also had a system similar to this, and I found it fascinating. And when I went and used it as a guest, I thought it was fascinating. What made it so? What makes it so easy for you, for your clients to use it?
So, first off, we as a small business again. We made the system for small businesses and for, you know, for as and medium businesses. Everything we do is very easy, drag and drop, and allows for them to track all of their operations across the emails, the landing pages, and their events, which is a very unique system. And as far as the usage is concerned, as I mentioned, we have very robust tools that allow them to do drag and drop editing. We have things like sequencing in emails, and we have multivariate testing. We have automations. We have a lot of different enterprise level, if you will, offerings for SMBs.
Hmm. We're talking with Eric Diamond. His product is PushSend, which we know is something that's become very important to small business. Eric, why are you concentrating on the small business, not solely, but why are you making such an effort at the small business? Well, what do they use a product like yours for?
So we like to say that we like to help tell and sell the stories of small businesses, because we know that from a marketing perspective, it's very difficult in today's world for small businesses to sell their products and services. And we wanted to offer tools that we were using ourselves as a small business that were successful for us, and offer those tools for those small businesses. So what they're doing is they're doing email campaigns. So whether you're a retail store and you're, you know, sending email campaigns for your existing customers or potential new customers for sales, all this with trying to grow their business. The same with building out landing pages so that they can put up new products or services or whatever, and then send out those emails against those landing pages. And then as they grow and events become something of importance to them, maybe they're having some meetups or offline conferences or having clients there, they can do all that registration and everything through that process as well.
Wow. Well, let me ask you, let's say I have a list, as I do, of 95,000 small businesses, and I want to send an email. Do I use your ISP, or do I use my site?
No. You would sign up for the service for your 95,000 contacts. You can sign up using, you know, you choose the number of contacts, and ultimately, when you come into our system and you send, it's through our system. You don't have to do anything except put together, choose a template or create your own template, put the email together, upload your list, and you're done. You don't have to do anything else.
It's really fascinating because I'm sitting here a little dumbfounded because the ISP that houses my websites, whenever I send an email out, they say, "Oh, you got somebody saying that you're a spammer," and then I have to go through a whole rigmarole to show them that I'm double opted in, etc. And
sure,
that I'm told by a lot of people a lot of small businesses is what's really beginning to bother them. What do you say to that?
Sure. So I say you have to use the right system because, so for example, PushSend, with PushSend, we give you the ability to create double opt-in lists so that you can make sure as a business that everybody has authorized their to receive emails. That's number one. Number two is we have all of our IPs and all of our technology is very much vetted. We've been doing this for a very long time, and we understand how to send emails and, you know, how to keep out of the spam folder, so to speak. So there's a lot of things that go into that.
Well, that's good to know. But Eric, people have said that sending emails is dead. What do you say to that?
I'd say to them that the statistics show that email is still the highest performing form of marketing. You look at the numbers as far as conversions out there, beats social media, beats anything else as far as conversion to sending out emails.
Well, the critical thing is the messages you send out and the subject line. How do you help small businesses find the right combination?
Right. So we have what's called A-B testing and multivariate testing. So you can basically create a test where you test out 2 to 3 or 4 of subject lines that you want against an email, and then you choose very simply the size. So if I have 100 emails I want to send out as an example, I can choose to send 50 a test, and then we show you the results of the winner of which subject line won. And then if at that point, we then send the winner to the rest of the emails so that we help them with optimizing and understanding the best subject lines or content for their emails.
We're talking with Eric Diamond. His company's product is pushsend.com. Eric, how do you charge for your service?
So we have 3 tiers. We actually have a free forever tier where if you have under 500 contacts in your list, you can live in that free tier for as long as you want. You have certain limitations in there, like having our PushSend logo that gets put to the bottom of each email and other types of things that are limitations, but you can actually use the system for as long as you want. And then we have a newbie tier, which is unlimited sends. And then we have, you know, up to 10 landing pages, and you get to try one event. And that starts out at $25, you know, with ultimately giving you 1,500 contacts. And then you can just choose what the amount of contacts, and, of course, the money comes up. And then the pro account, which is unlimited pretty much everything, which starts at $169 for 10,000 contacts, which also has a full the full event marketing suite.
Hmm. But you're saying when you're saying an event, you're not just saying a physical event. You're saying like a sale or something like that. Am I hearing you correctly?
Well, yeah. So when I say event marketing, it's basically allows for you to create an online event, create a registration page for that event, create an email and a template around that event, send it out to people, and getting people registered to come to your event and getting all the analytics around that.
Hmm. Well, let's go a little further. Can you, Eric, do you have an example of somebody that worked with you and how it worked so you can talk to our audience about?
Sure. I mean, I can't necessarily say names. I don't have permission per se to because we literally just launched and we had some beta clients. And so with some of the beta clients, we had a range in size of businesses. I'll give you a smaller end business, which was on the retailer. And they had a list of roughly somewhere around 15,000 names, and they were sending out lots of campaigns and they were creating lots of landing pages, and they also had an event platform, and it was a different platform. So it was a very disconnected system, so they didn't have a full picture of all the analytics. So by using our system, we gave them an all-in-one in one place, giving them the ability to see all the analytics for each one of these pieces. So you send out your email campaign, it clicks and goes to a landing page and check out some specials or products or services that are being offered. And then ultimately, they had in-store events, and those in-store events were used through the event piece where they also sent out emails and built landing pages. So it was very successful for them and very affordable, much more affordable than having two or three different systems to use.
I couldn't agree with you more. Well, let's go down to the business side. How are you marketing your product? Our audience has made up 59% of our audience are presidents and or owners. How are you marketing this new product?
So we have a head of marketing who is in charge of that. But just to give you a little insight, so we're going to start doing Facebook campaigns, social media, mostly social media campaigns, Google ad campaigns, but also we have what we're calling our content campaigns. So we have built up a tremendous amount of knowledge, expertise, content. So everything from how to build a great campaign or a great landing page and getting that content out there so that our name becomes, you know, known as experts in the area to help people and to really give them insight and knowledge so that they want to do business with us.
So you're building a content basis in which to drive information to attract. That's a clever approach. Congratulated.
Thank you. We worked hard on it. We put together ebooks and articles and lots of content. And you know, there are, if I may cite, you know, companies like HubSpot, which we admire because they very, very cleverly and very successfully built out, you know, themselves as experts to a lot of small businesses and other businesses over the years, and had really put a lot of content out there, and that's what helped them be successful. So if we became as successful, a fraction of that, then we would be very satisfied.
I imagine so. But
yes.
Turning it around for a minute, where are you located, and how many people do you have working on the product?
So we are located in downtown New York City, in the financial district. We have roughly around 10 people working on the product. That includes software developers, my marketers, myself, my head of product, my CTO, and my COO.
What has been your biggest obstacle to success so far?
Well, we just launched, so we can't even tout success or failure, quite frankly, but we think that the success is going to lie in the ability to acquire users at a very reasonable price and for getting our names out there and our content and becoming the experts that we know that we are and we hope that everybody appreciates.
Well, you chose, you know, the other thing, you chose a PR agency to help you. What did you look for in a PR agency that made you choose the one that got you on this program?
Well, the reason we chose them is because they had a lot of expertise with SaaS-related products. So software as a service, for those of you that doesn't know what SaaS means. So ultimately, they understand the cycle and the branding and the life cycle, if you will, of a SaaS company.
We're talking with Eric Diamond. His product is Push Send. Now, Eric, because this is radio, I'm going to ask you to tell us again how your product works, because I find it fascinating, and that's why you're on this program.
Sure. So just to give an overall, we're an all-in-one solution that allows for you to easily create email campaigns, landing pages, as well as market your event. And you can do it all in one place. We have really robust analytics around all of that. You can connect to hundreds of different CRMs like Salesforce or Zoho and those kind of things for your contact lists and sync them up and all that kind of stuff. And we, most importantly, make it as simple as possible. And last most important piece I should state is our customer service. Everything for us is about customer service. Everybody on our team plays a role in customer service at least a few hours a week, from myself down to the COO and whoever it might be, because we understand the customers are everything to us, and we have to listen loud and clear as to what they're liking, not liking, all of that. And we are holding their, we'd like to be able to be holding their hand through the whole process.
You know, that's a very unusual statement you made. One of the things that in our surveys, small business have said is the lack of customer service. What impelled you to make such a decision like that, to emphasize customer service
Sure.
like you are?
Well, we know that when you're a fully automated online service, first of all, that people need help, especially small businesses who aren't designers or savvy marketers or whatever. They want to be helped, and so we want to be there to be that help. And we're one of those businesses ourselves. When we use other products, we expect the same things out of those products as well. Oftentimes we don't see it, and we learn from that, and hopefully we can be of great assistance and really hold the hands of a lot of small businesses and want to get them on a daily basis to want to work with us.
I'm at a loss to ask more questions because you explained it so fully. Eric, if you had three things you wanted to impart to our audience today, what would they be?
I would say, number one, obviously, you know, give PushSend a try. I mean, there's certainly a lot of services out there, a lot of different promotions and things that are thrown in, especially small businesses' spaces. I will tell you that me personally, as a small business, this system is built for you as a small business. We would appreciate you coming on, and if nothing else, try us out and give us the feedback. Number two is that we all ultimately want to, you know, be able to grow this business and grow with those small businesses. So we built this for scale. So for you as a small business, as you mature, as you grow through your stages, we feel like this platform can grow with you. So we're with you for the long, long haul. And the third thing I'll just say is that obviously, you know, just the on a day-to-day basis, what we judge as our success is obviously the growth and the longevity, as they call it, the lifetime value, if you will, of the customer. Are they perceiving our service to be greater in value than the actual price of the service? And that's how we judge ourselves.
That's really good. That last one really sinks home, Eric. In the time we have left, let me ask you this question. What do you look for in the employees that you hire?
Mm-hmm. For me, it's all about passion. As a small business, you know, you're often asked, you may be hired to do one thing and have to roll up your sleeves and do other things. And no one is above or below anybody, and so we look for a certain type of person that is willing to jump in and really take on a challenge, especially at a startup like PushSend, where we want to really get market share, and it's all about the customer. And if you're not willing to or don't have the appetite to handle or talk to customers, then ultimately you're not really a great fit for us.
No, I'll ask you one more question because it came up in another interview. Do you find it difficult to discharge a person? And if you do, regardless of whether you do or not, how do you best handle it?
Well, that's never a fun situation by any means. No one wants to have to let go. And that's what you asked about, is letting someone go, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, sorry. I didn't really hear you before. Yeah, so from my perspective, you have to treat everyone with respect. And when you know, it's as much painful as it is for me as it is that person. That person has spent some portion of their life with us, and they gave themselves to us just like we gave ourselves to them. And so, you know, we like to ultimately leave on very good terms. We don't ever want to get ourselves into a situation where there is friction or it gets to a boiling point. And I think those are the kind of things, if you keep your ear to the ground, so to speak, and you speak to people on a day-to-day basis, you'll feel the temperature and understand from your employees exactly where they are.
Hmm. Well, you know, with that, Eric Diamond, your company again, your website, and how people can reach you.
Sure. So it's push, P-U-S-H, send, S-E-N-D, pushsend.com. You're happy to reach out to me directly, eric@pushsend.com. That's eric@pushsend.com. Or, you know, obviously I'd say, you know, we just launched. Come to the site and try us out.
Oh, well, I got to tell you, Eric, I'm thinking of trying you out myself with our system.
Okay.
With our needs.
Great.
Because your product sounds so wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Okay.
Wine, the Tony Soprano, the famed fictional crime boss who grew up in the Ironbound section of Newark, New Jersey, turned to a psychologist to resolve some of his conflicted emotions. I grew up in the Ironbound section of Newark at the same time as depicted in the forthcoming movie prequel to the television Soprano saga. In the highly successful television series, Tony Soprano was a man born to the mob, yet questioning his birthright, the rules he lived by, and the people he associated with. Tony Soprano was not alone, and my book, Frankie, If You Get Hurt, I'll Kill You, talks about those changes and the people they affected, myself included, and the fictional Tony Soprano. The period 1950 to 1965 was the time of major changes hitting Tony Soprano in fiction and my neighbors in real life. He, like many of my neighbors, felt the strain of an evolving Italian-American heritage. Tony Soprano and my generation were being torn from their roots, rendered from the comfort of their familiar with changing rules and mores. For family, long a center of his life was unraveling. Recall, his mother, Tony Soprano's mother, ordered his liquidation. The mob to which Tony Soprano was born to was morphing in ways he neither understood nor wanted. My book, Frankie, If You Get Hurt, I'll Kill You, explores these changes by leading the reader through the labyrinth of channels swept away for most of us of Tony Soprano's generation. Tony Soprano is fiction. His experiences were not. Return with me to those times where individuals did things differently there and needed to adapt to changes without comprehending the exact nature of those demands. Certainly, Tony Soprano did not quite understand. Neither did I, nor others of our generation. I provide insight in Frankie, If You Get Hurt, I'll Kill You, because my father was for many years the chief launderer of their shirts and the pressing. My mother had a lifetime friendship with a mob boss, and I covered them for the Newark News. The book is Frankie, If You Get Hurt, I'll Kill You, and available soon here and at your favorite bookstore. You have been listening to Small Business Digest. Our website is the number 2 SB Digest. Go there to hear this and all past and future shows. And tell us of the guests you would like to hear on this program. Remember, this show is about helping our audience improve profit. I'm Don Mazzella, and thank you.